Download it for your listening pleasure. This is the Tim and Jess podcast.
Tim, I saw an interesting article today, and, you know, I was clickbaited into it. I'm going to be real. Arnott's reveal why they think this biscuit is the most popular.
Right? Like, oh, of their range.
Of their range.
Okay.
And I immediately went to the, like, Arnott's Family Assorted, and I thought, for sure, they're going to say the teddy bear.
Oh, right.
That's always my go-to. I go teddy bear, Choc Ripple, whatever's left.
Crumbs. The crumbs of the teddy bear and the Choc Ripple, and then the fully formed others.
Would you believe if I told you that Arnott's have revealed that the Scotch Finger is their most popular biscuit?
100%. It's the best biscuit.
Do you think so?
I didn't realize that it... Like, when I say 100%,
yeah.
I didn't think that it was the most popular, but to me...
To you, it's your number one.
It's my go-to. And Scotch Fingers with chocolate on the bottom?
Well, Scotch Finger is the only biscuit that's available in original, chocolate half-coated, gluten-free, and mini.
So inclusive biscuit.
They know that it's a big one. It has been for nearly 120 years, Tim.
I think my dad might have got me onto Scotch Fingers.
Really?
Well, I mean, you know, dad's in his 70s.
It's been around pretty much his whole life.
Yeah, I was going to say in the 50s, post-war.
Yeah,
It was pretty much just Scotch Fingers and, you know, Gough Whitlam. So not much going on, but... I'm a big fan of the Scotch Finger.
In the last 12 months leading up to the last October that just passed, there was a growth of 19.4% in the number of packets of Scotch Finger biscuits.
Sorry.
I
did go on a bit of a shopping
spree. They have no idea why they've seen such a spike in interest.
It's delicious.
But they have. And I just... It's shocking to me.
Could it be the celiacs with the gluten-free versions?
Could be.
But you see, what I like about the Scotch Finger when they do their chocolate version, and you know, personally for me, with biscuits, the smallest amount of chocolate, the better.
Like, yeah.
I want it just casing. The biscuit is the show stealer. The chocolate is there as
Tim
a bit
Tam
of
too
a,
much?
Oh, 100%. Yucky.
Tim Tam's basically a chocolate bar at this point.
That is a chocolate bar. Yeah. I don't look at a Tim Tam the same way I look at it as a Scotch Finger because...
I wonder why Tim Tam get to call themselves a biscuit, but Kit Kat is a chocolate.
Man.
Because they would have the same amount of biscuit in them, wouldn't they?
Density, I would say, right, is where it's at. But the Scotch Finger, when they how they put just chocolate, just enough.
Yeah.
It's enough to make a married man question himself.
Got me thinking, on a Friday afternoon, why not? What's the best biscuit in the Arnott's Assorted range?
What is... So, because I was struggling to remember, because yeah. I thought like Monte Carlo and that's in the creme
that's
section.
That's in the cream assorted.
Okay.
The family favourites assorted, milk coffee, teddy bear, Choc Ripple, Choc Ripple, not
Ripple. It is a ripper.
Choc Ripple, Scotch Finger, butternut snap, milk arrowroot, and the nice. I don't know, how do you say it? Nice?
I don't know. After I've eaten all the Scotch Fingers, I normally black out in a diabetic high. But I'd never actually had enough tummy room to go to the other biscuits because I'm just... Do you think it's not right? Say if like there's an assorted thing.
Yeah.
If I eat all of the Scotch Fingers, but then there's like still literally 60 biscuits left, that's fine, right?
That's totally fine.
Thank you.
First in, first serve.
100%.
We used to, up until we came to the K-Rock office, for some reason this is the first office we've had where they haven't had an Arnott's Assorted.
Yeah.
Every other radio station we've worked for they've done a family favourites assorted.
Interesting.
Maybe I'll bring one in and we'll see which one goes first.
That could be a good case study on Monday. I like that.
52232955. What is the best Arnott's biscuit?
And if it isn't Scotch Finger, why? Because literally now, I didn't realize stats were backing me up. This is the first time in a while that I've had stats back up a wild claim that I've made.
So absolutely.
Super important to me. 52232955. What is the best bicky in the Arnott's Assorted packets? Joining us now on the show. Oh, love it. Above average Mike from Highton, who's just a little bit above average in everything. He joins us. Mike, good to chat to you. How do you feel about the assorted family bickies?
Well, hey, Tim and Jess, how do I feel about this? Well, I'd like to actually start something with Arnott's and suggest that there's a new biscuit coming out, and it is the Nice and Milk Arrowroot Sandwich, with Nice being the bread and the sugar being on the outside.
Oh, stunning. I never even thought to sandwich the biscuits.
Oh, and then to add more to it, you just dip it in a cup of tea so it all softens up. Oh, beautiful. Even old people can eat it with dentures.
Do you know what the thing is, above average Mike? Jess was like, I don't know. I can't remember why we called him above average Mike. I'm trying to slip the memory. And then you come on the show and you say stuff like this.
Yep.
And of course, you're above average Mike.
I just like raising the bar.
Yep.
I just have to be above average every time. And I'm glad to be that person.
Mike, you absolutely do. You absolutely raise the bar.
Above average Mike. We love it when you call the show. Thank you very
now
much.
Now I'm going to have to sandwich the biscuits, yep. Tim.
All right. Craig from Hyden, apparently you are a big fan of one biscuit in particular. Can you tell us what that is?
Oh, hands down, it's the Kingston. You're off your lemon spread if you're saying anything else.
Lemon spread.
I don't even know if I've had a Kingston before. I think I was.
A Kingston's part of the Arnott's variety creams.
Oh.
So I usually go straight for the the chocolate cream, like the Oreo
looking
dupe.
One.
No. There's no other competition. It's a Kingston. If it's anything else, nah, you're on another planet.
Craig, wow. If you if you were at a business function and they had a plate of the cremes assorted and you saw all of the different Kingston there, would you feel no issue exclusively taking all of the Kingstons and everyone else misses out?
Oh, 100%. This is coming from someone that's, not a word of a lie, I pounded 7 packs of the 20 Tim Tam biscuits in 1 week, making 140 Tim Tams in 1 week. I was quite addicted to Vickies, but the Kingston still come out on top.
Oh, my God.
Do we have an above-average Craig on the cards, Jess?
I think we have a Bicky addict,
yeah,
Craig.
B-A-G. Okay.
I'm an absolute
ho. Okay.
Santa Claus is in town. Ho, that's me.
Thanks, Craig.
I didn't think we'd get there, Tim. Craig, my favourite.
Yeah. This is Tim and Jess. And Will from the newsroom has stuck around. Thank you very much, Will.
No worries.
This morning at a crisp 7:30 a.m. we all met, including Chappie from the digital team, because we wanted to have an end of year little get together for the people that work on the show. I was thinking about that today. We really should have paid for Will and Chappie to play.
I didn't realise it was an end of year thing. I thought we've been trying to plan this since October.
You say that now, of
course. Because it kept getting pushed back. Yeah. I was like, oh, this is the end of year celebration. But we head down to Bowen Valley Golf Course.
Yeah.
Excited, different levels of experience. I played a lot of golf when I was younger and have stopped pretty much dead solid for the last 5 years. Jess, this is new for you?
Yes, brand new hobby for me. So this was my first time out on the links.
Will, probably the most experienced of the four of us.
Maybe. Chappie plays.
Chappie picked it up 2 years ago. I was chatting to him. If you see any videos on our Instagram at KRock Geelong,
he's pretty good.
Chappie's little golfy mitts are all over those things. Will, you were definitely the player of the day.
Oh, Chappie and I are pretty level.
Pretty level. This is the thing.
And I started hot.
I was saying to the group of you that I was once just around the level that Will was at, and because of my non-playing, it has just faded away.
Sure.
I'm a different weight when I was playing, and it's just changed my stance. And
I didn't realise there was different weight classes for golfers.
No, it's just my tummy sits on my knees a little bit more than what you used to. But Will, I wanted you to give an honest opinion, because if people are listening, maybe taking up golf, there's obviously many different ways you can get into it. But I wanted you to say one nice thing and one honest thing to Jess and I about both of our golf games.
The first thing I will say, I was shocked that 50% of us were left-handed.
Yes, that was
Chappie
strange.
Chappie and Tim, both lefties.
I didn't realise that Chappie was also a lefty.
You're allowed to be left-handed.
I wouldn't say so.
Jess absolutely looked the part.
Thank
100%.
You.
When you got out of the car, I
got my little golf outfit. Yeah. I finally got to wear it. That
Plus
was nice.
You had this nice sort of old-style, classic red leather bag.
I got
that
it.
Just looked great.
Well, I got the full set of clubs off Facebook Marketplace for $100.
Excellent.
And the guy at the club shop, he was so lovely. I wish I got his name, because he was so incredible. Nice. Whoever it was down at Bowen Valley, amazing guy. He came over to me and he was like, "Hey, I don't want to embarrass you in front of the boys. You've actually got your bag round the wrong way." He flipped my bag over. He's like, "Now you can get it to all the zips." I was like, "Thank you so much."
For what it's worth, I didn't even notice. That's how I'm going.
So
that's my nice thing.
Jess looked nice. Excellent. All right.
God.
And what's your honest feedback about Jess's golf game?
needs to spend a bit more time at the range, I think.
Yeah. Yep. I did tell Tim that I wasn't yet green legal because I did have a lesson, and the guy told me absolutely do not go anywhere near a golf course.
Yeah.
Come to the driving range a few more times. And I was like, yeah, that sounds like it's going to be a no from me.
Straight to the links. All right, Will, I'm sitting here ready for my nice thing.
Oh, here we go. This is all Tim's done. He's just set it up so you can give him a compliment.
Oh, no, trust me. I know how I played. There's nothing nice about the game that I played, but I'd like to see what Will has to come up with here.
Yeah, I know. You hit a few balls in the air.
Yeah, that was good. That was good fun.
I will say Tim's game got
that's more of a fact than a nice thing.
You had to race off because you had to get to work to do your bulletin.
Yeah.
And Tim's game got significantly better once you left.
I keep hearing, oh, I used to be good. Oh, then Tim got good as soon as I left.
Well, to be fair, I think you and I have been playing a lot of online chess lately. And you've been embarrassing me. And I think it's getting to me. Yeah, I know. You might be listening thinking, wow, look at all these cool young hobbies that we have of chess and golf. But as soon as you left, I think the tension in my shoulders eased and my stance kind of widened up a little bit.
I'll be honest, I'm sort of riding this sort of era of superiority over you at the moment.
It's been a bad 2 days.
And I'm really enjoying it.
Yep. So it looks good on you, Will.
What was the honest feedback that you had?
The honest you just got to keep your eye on the ball.
Yeah, I know.
I also think that Tim really got a lot of gimmies. He just kept picking his ball up.
Well, because I knew what we were there for. We weren't there to be like, we're not scoring. Will was scoring because he's an asshole. But we were there to have fun, and everyone was having a different level of experience.
You actually had a great old style putter.
It was my grandfather, Papa's putter.
That was very nice.
Yep. It was wooden with like a metal putter bit.
Mm. Yeah.
And it made like a ding.
It's my favourite thing. It's my Papa, who's passed away, he gave that to me when I was younger. But my main thing, I just want to just have a good time out there because it's very easy to, if you want to get into golf, it's very easy to get in and then it's very easy to get out of golf.
Oh, and you know, it's super intimidating. Like, as someone who is just starting, I felt super intimidated to go out into like an actual golf course. So to have you boys like giving me, you know, little tips, and Tim was giving me all little etiquette tips as well throughout the whole day.
I just said, don't stand in front of people. They might hit you with a golf ball.
No, you said stand behind your bag in case you get hit with a golf ball as well.
It takes away half your body space.
Look, it was really nice to have you guys show me the ropes. So I think if you're wanting to get into golf and you're feeling a little bit intimidated, just find someone to hit the links with. And
get a cute dress and you should be sorted.
Exactly. There it's great for little outfits. Wait till you see my next one.
All right, well... There's another one?
There's three.
We need to organise another end of year. Tim and Jess, the podcast. Plenty, dozens of schools across Geelong, Surf Coast and the Bellarine. And I imagine in the lead up to the end of the school year, for primary school in particular, class parties.
Yes.
They'd be doing class parties.
Love a class party.
Hits different in primary school.
Do you reckon they're still doing it like the way that we used to do it back in the 90s? Like a sliver of pizza and a half a...
You're getting pizza in primary school?
Yeah.
Oh, man, we didn't get pizza in primary school. It's like a packet of chips and a cup of cordial. You're like, party. Did someone invite Jay Sean and Pitbull? Because we are going all wild in here.
You'll say a 2-litre bottle of LA Ice Cola.
Yeah, probably. Oh, man, soft drink from primary school. It would taste better, 100%. But the teachers pretty much, they provide for those parties, right?
I think so.
Because over in the States, something's happened, and a teacher in the US, she... through a class party, and what she served up wasn't what she thought it was, and it caused a bit of a kerfuffle.
Oh, no.
She thought she would get the kids, and you would never see this in an Australian school, maybe in Queensland. I'll get the kids some beef jerky.
Beef jerky?
Yeah, I'll get the kids some beef jerky.
Okay.
Chuck it on a paper plate, you know, next to some balloons that I've sticky taped to the table. Class party, right?
Everyone gets a shard of jerky, guys.
Yeah. You can understand why I'm saying it might happen in Queensland, but that's probably the place it would happen. wasn't beef jerky. Dog treats.
No.
Yeah, dog treats.
Oh, come on, kids. You've been good. Come get your schmackos.
Apparently, at least 8 children took at least 1 bite of the dog treats.
Oh, God.
And 1 kid did go to the doctor for a tummy ache, but they were okay.
Oh, thank God.
Yep. I mean... dog treats surely shouldn't have something in it so harmful that it hurts humans. Because why are we giving it to dogs?
That's fair.
I imagine, and like this is probably, I probably shouldn't even say this, but I imagine the kid that went to like the sick bay with a tummy ache was like, yeah, I think it's made me sick, miss. I don't feel so good.
Do you think that because that would have been you as a kid
no,
trying to get out of class?
There's a chance.
Dog treats, you say? I feel very sick all of a sudden.
What I thought we could do, and we've done variations of this on the show, but it's always worth a chat. 5223295. What did you accidentally eat? Mm. Or I guess, is this a what did you find in your food? But I all think, the food was dog treat.
Yeah, I think what did you accidentally eat? Because, you know, I bring it up almost every time we talk about this, but I'll never get over the fact that I drank a gecko.
You didn't drink a gecko.
There was there a dead gecko in my coffee?
Yes, so you didn't drink it. But it was dead, and the juices of that gecko, you consume them, yes.
It's like when you make a cup of tea, Tim. You're not going to eat the tea leaves, but the essence of the tea is there.
You had the essence of a lizard that you drank. But you never drank the lizard.
And we don't know whether the gecko was in my mug or whether the gecko was in the kettle.
Yeah, you just never
know. But I assumed that the gecko, because it was boiled alive, I assumed that it was boiled in the kettle.
Well, you want it boiled alive. Technically, you probably actually got extra nutrients out of that cup of tea.
Stop it. I'm going to throw up.
5223295. Give us a call. What did you accidentally eat? Maybe it was just a little bit confusing. Maybe it was a bit overwhelming. Maybe you put something out of the fridge that you thought was totally fine and it was completely moldy. Kat from New Orleans giving us a call on 5223295. Kat, what have you accidentally eaten?
A few weeks ago, I purchased a Caesar salad wrap from the supermarket, and there was hand sanitizer in one side of the wrap. When I bit into it. Yeah, that was full on hand sanitizer.
So instead of like a Caesar dressing, they've just squirted some hand sanitizer in your wrap.
Oh.
It full on turned me off. I will not buy another wrap from a supermarket made up.
Because I haven't bought a salad mix wrap for ages. Mm. So this is like the little sauce, like the little liquid sachet part.
Yeah. And it was only in one side, and I'd done some checking on the fingers, and smell, and it was full on hand sanitizer.
I mean,
did it go in your mouth at all, Kat? Like,
I bit into it, and that's how I knew straight away that was hand sanitizer.
Oh, God.
Well, it did kill 99.9% of germs, Kat.
I will not. Yeah, it's turned me off. Shop bought wrap.
I'll buy
another one.
Fair enough. Mm. I imagine that's got quite a tang to it when you bite into it.
But
Kat,
at least you know that they've cleaned their hands before they've touched your wrap, right, Kat?
But it's interesting, how did it get in a pre-made wrap?
That is a good question.
You know,
we've got to do an investigation, Kat.
Yeah, we'll do a deep dive, Kat. Thank you very much for your call. I feel like, am I crazy that I feel like I can taste that in my mind's eye right now.
Yeah.
Like biting into it. I can feel that smell of the...
The worst part is that would linger on your tongue. Like you'd have...
Yeah, and you'd go, I'll fix it with another bite. And you go, more hand sanitizer. It's like the Sideshow Bob stepping on two rakes, but it's the burrito. Not the burrito, it's the pre-made wrap with hand sanitizer version of that. Simpsons reference. Nailed it.
This is Tim and Jess.
We've been talking about the rise of AI for the last, 12 months. It's really ramped up, hasn't it?
No, I feel like... We keep thinking it's been just the last 12 months. It's absolutely been 2.5 years now where AI and all these things have taken over front of mind.
It feels like technology is advancing at an even faster rate than we thought it could be possible.
Even like in small ways, like with like Meta AI on your Facebook or like ChatGPT, you can do all these things, these crazy things, and ask it to create these images and it's... It's so bizarre that you can just be like, hey, create four people that look like they're playing golf. One of them's a woman. They're all laughing and there's a crocodile in the back. And it'll just go, and it'll just create that image. I know that's the low level side of
things. It's an image that Tim created just today.
Yes. And it did it very efficiently. So thank you very much.
What about humanoid robots? How far do you think we're away from that?
Oh, it's hard to know. Like the videos you always see, it's like some dog looking thing or some... timid robot with terrible posture, and like people are shoving them and it shows that they can like balance when they're being shoved. It's like, well, don't shove the robots.
Let's not anger them.
Let's keep them on our side.
It turns out that humanoid robots are much closer than you think. In fact, Elon Musk has said that they will be available for purchase from the year 2026.
Just over a year away.
Yep.
Could 13 months.
And he says they're going to be affordable too. These humanoid robots, the ones he's talking about, are essentially, they look like humans, And they do like menial tasks. So if you were to buy one for your household, much like buying any other appliance for your household, this humanoid robot would maybe like fold laundry for you, wash dishes, you know, mop the floors, vacuum, all the things that you don't want to do, the robot would do for you.
Right.
And they think that the starting cost for these could be as low as $20,000 to $25,000.
I mean, it's a lot of money, but it's not as much as what I probably thought it would be.
Right? I thought like it's just like a car. That's quite a low entry point. That's achievable for some people.
That's a car loan.
Yeah.
I'm assuming hopefully they do it on Afterpay. Mm-hmm. Would you be like, cost aside, would you look into getting a humanoid robot?
I don't know. It kind of scares me to have something like that self-sufficient. Like if I would freak out, I freak out when my husband walks around the corner and I don't hear him coming. Imagine a robot. I'd be constantly like squaring up to this thing.
And you don't want to fight the robots. Because as much as I immediately, my initial gut instinct is to go, no, I don't think, like, again, I don't know why I have to keep using this example, like of WALL-E and what happens in that children's movie about like what happens to human beings
when the robots take over.
Well, not when the but just when the robots start doing everything, human beings become very useless very quickly. But when you were saying all the listing off all those things like laundry, like the vacuuming, all that stuff, that's all the stuff that after the end of a long day you go, I've still got to do that.
Right?
And I know, but the problem here's actually no, because I was going to say, yeah, lean
you
in.
You are on a roller coaster today.
I know, because I'm processing this in real time, like I imagine most people are. Because I look at it and I go, oh man, it'd be so great to not have to do that. But when you actually get up and you do those things, they don't take as long as what your brain's told you. So maybe I was about to buy in, I'm opting back out. I've decided on the fly, I'm opting back out.
It's essentially like paying for a cleaner. Or, you know, paying for, you know, different services. But it's a robot. You pay one off and they, once off, they just do it.
It's kind of, it's like getting a Kelpie. It's like getting a work dog.
Yeah.
I guess you don't have to buy food for it. Speaking, because we had a dinner a few weeks ago. Some friends came over and they were saying they have a cleaner come over once a month.
Yeah.
And my wife was far too interested in that conversation. So
I have inquired. I am interested in that.
Talking about other things. I was like, oh, the sun's pretty bright today, isn't it? Jeez, we should all not stop talking about getting a cleaner. Because that's, I can't do that.
See, my husband's obsessed with the idea of getting a chef more than anything. Like, if the robots can start cooking for us, oh, even better.
That actually, now I opted out. I might be opting back in.
Oh, my God. The flip-flopping today.
Well, you keep providing more information. Maybe if you did it at the start, I would have had a well-formed opinion.
Well, Tesla apparently will begin limited production of their Optimus robots from next year before entering full manufacturing capacity in 2026.
The only feedback I would say is less intimidating names than Optimus.
Yeah.
You know, like the Transformer movies, he's like the main one. He's the big boss, scary one. Well, not scary. He's like the good guy, but yeah. Yikes.
That concludes another thrilling edition of the Tim and Jess podcast.